Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast.
I remember when I peed on a stick and two lines appeared. I don't think there's a word that would best describe how absolutely excited I was. I had lost twins prior, and so this idea of being a mom, something I dreamed of since I was a little girl, and the idea that it had come true or would be coming true, I was just like lost in awe. I think I was filled with tears because I was in disbelief and excited, but also having a dance in the bathroom. I was just like so excited about the idea of having a little person in my life. And then Alexis was born, and her and I did everything together. I remember her first birthday. I was like, her and I went on a milkshake for her first milkshake. And it was just so fun. Like everything was so highlighted, seeing things through the lens of a child, seeing how she would notice her hands and how she'd pick up a ladybug and, you know, just the things that you don't always see as you get older and life gets busy. And having a child just slowed everything down and made me notice the small things that I'd overlooked and missed in years. And that just grew, honestly, as became a mom of two and three and then four. It's just like being a mom has been the most amazing adventure of a lifetime, but it also has, in that adventure, I don't think any of us know how much learning we'll do in the years of motherhood, and then that it never continues. The learning is not just in the beginning of how to breastfeed and how to like take care of an infant, but it's forever. It's like learning how to be a mother to a toddler, and then to a middle-aged kid, and then to somebody who's graduating, and then moving on and becoming an adult. Being a mom to an adult is just another realm completely. And learning how to do that properly and giving yourself grace and giving them grace and realizing that we're just here for the first time. And there's so many stories, I think, wrapped up in motherhood and so much letting go. So in this podcast, I'm super excited to have my oldest Alexis join me on this adventure of when everything changed for her. And we didn't talk about this prior, so I didn't know where we were headed. And it ended up bringing up so many things we've talked about in other private conversations just about, you know, traveling and being a mom and her moving away and us finding our way in that and still having such a beautiful and authentic and open relationship. So I'm super excited that you're here, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. And maybe if you're a mom, there's parts of this that might resonate with you, or maybe you're a daughter who's, you know, a son moving on your own. Maybe this part of this will resonate with you. We had a really good conversation. There's parts of holding back tears and so much laughter. And everything in between. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. I hope that you enjoy.
I also want to forewarn you that this podcast is extremely loud. There's a lot of background noise because there are monkeys and chickens and children and workers in the background. So please bear with us and just know that we do our best to try to eliminate as much of that background noise as possible. But sometimes it's just the circumstances or just where we are recording. And in this case, Alexis was recording in a courtyard, and there was just a lot of noise in nature. So please hold tight and bear with us through this podcast as there is some background noise, but trust me, it's a good one. So thanks for joining us and for being here and for putting up with all of the sounds of nature. Maybe it'll highlight the conversation a bit and just realize that we're all coming from all different spaces in the world. So enjoy. Thanks for being here. Oh my gosh, Lex, thank you so much for being here. I can hear all of the jungle around you. It sounds like you're living in a bit of a zoo. It's definitely an adventurous, yeah. It's a lot of animals
I'm just waiting for the monkeys to come
and
running
children
across.
and yeah. Yeah. They're about to. I think someone's doing a bit of some weed whacking right now too in the garden next to us, so.
That's perfect. The thing with okay, so those of you who are listening today, Alexis is living in Nicaragua, with my daughter. Thank you for being here and hanging out with me. And I don't know where we're going today, but I'm like super excited. I got like a delicious drink, and I can't wait to talk about all the things.
Aww.
Yeah, she's in Nicaragua, and I'm in Saskatchewan, Canada right now. So we're really far apart, and I'm living in currently in like a quiet basement, and Lexi's in a courtyard with all of the birds and all of the animals singing and running around.
There is a lot. There's definitely like 1,000 roosters. I swear every house like next to the restaurant has like a rooster just to wake them all up. So we've got normally like 7 going sometimes at the same time. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's like a little like
Yeah.
choir over there. You just don't know who's going to be singing at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost all of Nicaragua though. It's not a quiet country.
Totally. Well, thanks then
Yeah.
for being here. I am super excited to have this
Aww.
chat. Yeah, what are you drinking today? What do you got?
Well, I have actually 2 drinks because really mostly I need a coffee because it's early. But I have an Earl Grey tea. It's like a hot Earl Grey tea. And then as my backup, I have a really milky chai because
Ooh.
I don't know why the chai just wasn't strong enough. And so it's like the color of just straight milk, but it actually has flavor. So that's what I have.
I've been telling you about the tea. So we're living currently in Alberta mostly, but there's this cute little shop in the small little town that we're living in, and this lady, she hand makes all her teas. And so I had this sweet cinnamon tea this morning that I've been telling you about, and it is
Yeah.
so good. So if you're looking for a good tea, and she ships, I don't think she'll ship to Nicaragua, but everywhere else in the world you can get it. It's called Sipalicious. Just look it up online and you can get it.
Sipalicious. I
Sipalicious.
didn't know
Yeah.
that. That's funny.
Cute name, but yeah, she's got all her teas she makes in Alberta, and they're really, really good. So that's what I'm drinking today. I don't have a backup though. I did not come prepared with a backup
Yeah.
chai.
I came prepared.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, if I get too hot drinking this drink, I'm gonna switch over to the cold one. That was my plan.
Lexi is the queen of drinks though. Like
Yeah.
every time before she was living on her own, she would always like, she just knew that she would have to double down and make a drink for me and herself. So typically it'd be like
Yeah, that's true.
four drinks. It's like, okay, so like we're starting here, and then this is like the appetizer, and then we're gonna move over to
We're
this
gonna.
one in a little bit.
It's because I can't handle my excitement for things. I just get like overwhelmed, especially for like dinners. I'll be like, oh, like I'm just gonna do something like simple. And then I get too excited, and it's like a 6-course thing, and I only make 4 because I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, I can't eat all this food, but
Your
yeah.
passion for
So I have 2.
food and drinks is like above and beyond, I think, all humanity. Like you just have to be passionate about the flavors. It's good.
All humanity.
You just get so excited though. Like you're just like, you make a yogurt bowl and you're like, this could serve a family.
Expensive. That's so true. Like I'll make like a burger and it's just like way too tall. I can't even fit it in my mouth. I was just too excited about all the toppings. I'm like, but like I wanted a whole avocado in here. Like, yeah, no, that is true.
You know how to make the
Yeah, the passion is
food
there.
taste good, and your passion is there. Even if you can't finish it, you're like, it's fine. It's like it was so good for all the flavor I could get in there.
But I think the problem is I most often finish it. And so it's like my eyes are like, what's the word? My eyes are too big for my stomach or
Yeah.
whatever. But I actually do fit it. Like I do. I'm like committed. I'm like, once it's on my plate, I'm like, yeah, no, this is gonna
This
be
is
good.
happening. This is gonna be so good.
Gonna
I
eat
put
it.
so much love into this, I am not wasting
Yeah.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, like I don't need one drink. I'll take two.
Yeah.
And if I had kombucha, I'd also have that also. I'd be like, I have 3 actually. One in just in case I get bored.
One just gives me
Yeah.
a little sparkle, you know? It's a little dance in my mouth. That's like kombucha. I feel like it just is like
Exactly.
the extra goodness. Like, especially in Nicaragua, everybody makes, because it's like so removed from, I feel like it's just like its own little world. Like, I mean, it's not, but it is. You
Yeah.
know, like it's like when you live there, you're like,
Yeah.
feels like you're on an island. Like you're just so removed from everything, and Most of the people there are making their own things. Like, I mean, even you, like making your own coconut milk. And it's just better and easier than going and buying it because you can just buy coconut and get so much milk out of it. Like, they're just like, it's, same thing with kombucha. People just get their fresh fruit and they just make it and make their tea and whatever. And it's just like so much better because they just handmade it, you know? Even
Hard to
the.
find it. It really forces you to be creative.
It does. Yeah. That's probably, it really pushes you into like, okay, what would you do if you had like a piece of paper, a scissor, and you're just like, you're turned into like MacGyver. When I was younger, there was a show where this guy would have like four items and he'd like build a rocket ship. And you're like, how? How did he do it? It's like he had to be resourceful. There was just no way around it. He had to be like, I can make anything of these four things. That's kind of
That is so
Nicaragua.
true.
Yeah. You just have to find.
It really is, honestly.
You become like a little, your very own MacGyver over there.
Me and Javier were talking about the other day because my speaker broke, the charger on it for the Sonos speaker, and it just like broke. And it was because something inside was like pushing down on the thing, so like the plug-in wasn't like sticking to the wall or whatever. So he like reassembled the whole thing. It took him quite some time. But literally, it just needed like a little, like, I don't know what he put in there, but like a little ball of like tissue just so it could push it down. I was like, in Canada, I would have just been like, I'm gonna buy a new one. Like,
Yeah,
what am I doing?
Amazon
And
that.
it's like, we can't find that here. Yeah, he's like, let's put some tissue in there and remake it.
So
This is
funny.
crazy. We'll just tape it back together. I'm like, oh, this looks really nice. But it works. So
Works. It works, and it saved you money.
yeah,
That's, there you go.
and I would be without a speaker right now, so it's good.
Yeah. Aw, well, I like when I was thinking about having this chat together, I was like, I don't know where it's gonna go. I mean, our life has been wild beyond like any story I would have written for us, as far as like having a very, you know, living in the same house for 10 years. But then prior to that, like Lexi is my oldest of four, and she was like my little partner in crime. Like if there was a project that we were gonna like that needed to get done, even when she's like seven, it's like, yeah, we can totally paint that wall. Like it's just like, yeah, we can like we need to do something. We're gonna renovate that whole back like area. We can totally take out this whole bathroom and like paint all the cabinets and we could do this. Like we became like little partners in crime while
Yeah,
there's
like we
kids
just
running
like,
around.
yeah, wake up one day and be like, what's our project today? Like, let's just re-renovate this whole situation. Paint till 3 a.m. and then be like, but it looks so good. Like, look at what we did.
And we did that with like dollar store paint. I remember that one time we're like, these stripes need to be a different color. And we're like, oh shoot, we don't actually have the right paint,
We
but I
don't
think I
have
have
any
some
real
craft
paint.
paint I can mix with this real paint. And we like painted all these
Yeah,
stripes and
change the tone of
changed the
it.
tone from yellow to like brown or something. You
It worked though. Dad did not know.
didn't.
I think he would have been quite shocked had he known that we just stick some dollar store paint in there.
Really?
He's like, "Where'd you get this paint color?" I'm like, "Oh, we had it. Had it downstairs."
Down there, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. We got it taken care of. So yeah, we've done like every project together. I feel like we kind of linked arms a lot in life because like when the kids were little, Greg was working, my husband was working crazy hours, and we're just each other's pal. And then a couple years ago, we moved from Nicaragua back to Canada. That was like the deciding point. It was like, okay, what's gonna happen? And there's just now Lexi lives in Nicaragua. And so it's like huge like change that we, you know, there's so many, oh, there's just so many things that I think happened in that time where you're trying to prepare ourselves for that. You can never really be prepared for the change. But I don't want to jump into anything because I don't know where you're going to take us today. And I don't like asking before. I'm like, don't tell me where we're
Oh
going.
gosh, no. I think if you help me, that's gonna be great. That's helpful. That's fine.
I always like saying like, because I don't know. I mean, I've been with you most of your life. But it's like, I don't know what, for you, what point in your life everything changed. Because I don't know what your personal like feeling within you is like, that is really when everything changed. Maybe it's like when we started traveling, or maybe it's like when, you know, you became the sister of four instead of, you know, or sorry, of three instead of two. Like a lots have happened. Like CB's like the oldest of four, but it's a very compact little group. So Lex was like 19 months old when my second one came. And then there's a 3 year gap. And then she was five when we had our third one, and almost seven when we had our fourth one. So, like, her whole life was kind of kids. And there's just so many little pockets. I feel like when I ask that question, people are like, well, I don't, there's a lot of times where it feels like all of a sudden life just pivoted and changed. So for you, and you th when I asked you, I mean, you know about the podcast and you listen to it, you know where kind of we're headed, but when you thought about that, what was the
Yeah.
time where you're like, oh yeah, no, this totally changed everything?
I mean, I think that probably the border, because it completely changed like the whole trajectory of our lives as like a family as well. But I never would be living the life that I am here, because if we had just moved to the US, then I probably would have gone to university and like, yeah, I would have just been working in a completely different job that I have now. And yeah, but I think the traveling definitely led us to a very different life than what we would have lived had we gone to the border. So I think traveling is what really shifted it, because I never would have moved to Nicaragua alone, and I would not have come here. I never even knew like Nicaragua like existed, to be honest. And so yeah, I definitely think the traveling, the biggest decision I had to make was staying here. But I think the point when it all changed was probably the traveling, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And I think all the kids would agree, like all like my siblings, because I think for them eventually you'll probably just have children around the world and just like this kid lives here and this kid lives here. So I don't think we're all gonna exist in like living in the same city or in the same country even, or continent. But I think it just, yeah, I think probably the traveling, because it, yeah, it just had the biggest impact and the most like ripple effects.
So, do you remember how old you were,
Yeah.
Lex, when we went there? You were just, was it just a bit before your 16th birthday?
Just before my 16th birthday, yeah.
Okay. And yeah, so we actually remember you had tickets, because we were moving to California. For those of you who haven't heard our previous stories, we were moving from Canada to well, to the US, moving to California. And for Lexi's 16th birthday, her cousins had, I believe, right? We had gotten tickets.
Yeah, Haley over,
Yeah.
yeah.
To Beyonce? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like,
Which I'm not sure why I picked Beyonce, because I like literally didn't know any of her songs, but they were just like, if you could go to any concert, I was like, Beyonce. And they did it, and I was not expecting that at all. I just kind of like pulled that out of a hat. Like I was just like, you know who'd be cool?
hear Beyonce.
But anyways, yeah, we didn't end up
No.
going, but yeah.
We ended up not being able to go, and then we were living in a very like just a very tight-knit cabin like for a couple months. And I remember when we had that conversation of like putting up it all on the wall and like writing your dreams and like, you know, after sitting for 15 weeks, we're like, what are we gonna do with our lives? And you were one of the most like I remember you being like, yeah, let's travel. Let's do it. Like you didn't, it wasn't like you were having to think about it. I was like, I had to think about it, and you're like, no, like let's do it. Like you said, I remember you being so in it, and I don't do you recall that? Do you remember feeling that way?
I mean, I remember you talked to your friend Lindsay, I think, who was living in Canary Islands. And so, it's a bunch of kids crying, but when you were talking to her about moving to the Canary Islands, we were just like thinking about what could we do? Like, should we do something adventurous? Like, what could it be? And then I found the Bucket List Family. And then I was like, oh, like people do this thing. And so then I was like into just like kind of research mode a little bit and just constantly just like finding Airbnbs and looking for different things and flights and like visas and like what could actually be like is that a possibility even? Because I had never really like I'd left Canada but only to like the US and Mexico, I think. And so it was pretty generic for the most part. And so I was like, I don't even know what it would look like to go somewhere far.
Right. Outside of those world, of those
But
places that we'd explored.
yeah.
Yeah.
But I was definitely excited, like for sure. I was like, because when we were there, the last thing I wanted to do was return back. Like not like I miss everyone, but it felt like the story was like, I don't know, it just like you move forward and then you'd be like, why would we go like exactly back to where we were? Even though it was only like a 15-week change or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like you had all of this work and like build up and all of these things to like leaving.
Yeah.
and moving towards something else, not running away, but in like the excitement of like what's going to happen in our lives, sort of. And then to
Yeah.
just like go back to Alberta and like buy another house and just be like, oh, hey, like we're just living here now again. I think we had had a dream of moving to the US just because of the community we would have there and because of dad's work and stuff. It was like we were so excited about the opportunity to like what that life would look like there. That when that was shut down, it was like, well, we need something else to dream for now
Yeah.
instead of just like, oh, okay, that's gone. We're just gonna,
Yeah.
go back.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with going back, but I mean, in a sense, it was just like, I couldn't imagine just like, I don't know, leaving and just living in Airdrie
Right.
again.
Just like all that work it took to get to where we were. It was like a 2-year process to get our
Yeah,
visa and to
exactly.
get like everything figured out, and then to just be like, well, that didn't work out, and just to go back to where we came from. For me, that
Yeah.
for me that felt like more of a com like more of like, okay, that more I know that. And that seems a little bit more of a comforting decision, because it's just traveling with really no agenda. It was just like, and
Yeah.
pick a spot. And you really wanted to go to Scotland. That was kind of on your wish list for a long time. And then that was the first place we went. And I think you may have got the found the flights for that one, and you became like dad's, or sometimes like the leading flight, like travel guru. You're just like, okay, I found this place, I got the flights, I got the stuff. Like, you learned so much about how to
Well,
like navigate
yeah.
that the travel world.
What I found was like, I don't know, was that everyone in our family is extremely good at dreaming. But the planning aspects, it's a bit trickier, you know? And so I was like, I wrote a list, a private list, before we had traveled, like when we were talking about it, of all the places I wanted to go to. And we went to every single one. Because I had like just found the flights and the Airbnbs and like I found some like dad definitely did a lot of that too. But I was like, no, I want to go to Bali. I want to go to Italy. I want to go to like France. I want to go to Scotland. And I think that was it. But I was like, I want to go to these places. And yeah, we went to every single one of them. And I was like, but if you just find, we were so like relaxed about what we were going to do. We had no plans past like 2 weeks. And so it was like, you have to find stuff quick and make it happen. And so you have to constantly be on it. The amount of time we spent looking on Airbnb the first year of
Oh,
travel was
it's like a
absolutely
full-time
insane.
job.
It's like a full-time job. Yeah, sorting through, like, especially Vietnam. I remember looking through that. There was just like, I like put the restrictions in of like, okay, like 3 bedrooms or whatever. And I kept adding more and more restrictions, and there were still like 107 pages. I was like, how are there this many homes there? Like, this is insane. Yeah. But no, so. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we went to a lot of cool
Yeah,
places.
and
Oh, that's
you
cool.
did really like, you really did charge that. You and dad really charged that, like flying, finding flights, finding places to live. And I didn't know you had a secret list, so that's why we went to all those places, I guess, because you like were kind of secretly leading us there.
Yeah, I did. I was like, this is what I need to have like a. I was like, if this is if we're only doing this for 1 year, I really want to make it to these places if possible,
Yeah.
and. When you basically like lay it out, like how it's gonna someone's gonna say no to that when you're like, no, like these flights are leaving this day, and there's a place booked for this day, and it's perfect, it lines up great. And then it's like, yeah, let's do it, let's go there, we're going. So yeah.
It's crazy. Do you have, when you think back about like, people always ask this, and actually someone recently asked me, like, what place that you've traveled in the world offered you the best quality of life? And I was like, whoa, that is a question I've not been asked.
A good question.
Yeah. So what do you think for yourself?
That's difficult because I'm technically living here now. You know what I mean? Like I chose this place. So, I mean, it depends on like quality of life. It's so difficult to know because there's so many different. I don't know. Like I loved Vietnam, like Ho Chi Minh City, and the quality of life there was awesome. Access to such good food, the prices were amazing. There was gyms everywhere. They're really into like health and just like fresh pressed juice all the time and all of those sorts of things. But I wouldn't want to like live there. You know what I'm saying? But like the quality of life, obviously coming in there like with a privileged life as well, like it's different depending on who you are, obviously, and how you're going to be living your life there. But based on like our situation and finances, the quality of life was really, really good for the price.
Right.
So yeah, I would say maybe Vietnam, because I mean the quality of life in other cities, like I really loved Barcelona and I really loved like Italy, but I don't know if I would say the quality of life was better. I don't know. It depends on what you want for your life, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that depends on the season.
It's interesting though, like a loaded question, right? Because it's like you can enjoy the city life where you can walk everything, but there's also like like the beauty to being even where you are, where it's like super simpleton. Like, you know, like you're on the beach and you can go see the sunset every night and you kind of know everybody. You can walk in the streets. It's like very friendly and people are all looking out for each other. It's just like everybody's come from all over the world. And plus the locals are just so super lovely and so kind. And it's just like, there's not a lot of stresses that you have to endure living where you are.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's like you said, like what season of life are you in? And what is the quality of living? Like, is it just the fact that I don't have to stress about how I'm going to have to spend so much money on rent this month, or like that my heat's going to go up because it's so cold, or like all of these things that different parts of the pockets of the world are different. And so, but like you're not Amazoning anything in Nicaragua, so it's not convenient. Like, it's not like what we know is convenience.
No. Which
it's
really puts a huge halt on consumerism.
Yeah. It's like really have to find contentment quickly or you get really uncomfortable there.
Very.
Yeah,
definitely. Which I do think in some ways, I don't know, I feel like maybe my life was leaning towards that in a sense. Not completely, I'm sure. Like, I wasn't planning on living here, but I don't know. I was becoming an extreme minimalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was becoming like a minimalist in Canada, where I feel like I was kind of like, oh, I have no problem with the, like, I do have a lot of clothes here though, but like, you know, that's been before, but I don't, but I don't have like an insane amount of stuff versus like, I don't know, maybe it was like leading towards that because, I don't know, it's very relaxed here. The quality of life here I do really love. I go to like the meat store, like the, and I go to the fruit market and I'm best friends with the fruit market lady. So I just like, I have time to like hang out there and be to her son most days. And so anywhere else I would be living, I probably wouldn't be able to just like stop in and chat with someone on my like errands for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's a very relaxed lifestyle here. No one needs to get anywhere super fast, but it's nice because it's a slower pace, you know, like I mean, have you try to watch the sunsets most evenings. And I find that you can create that in other places, but the cadence of city sometimes is harder to carve out time for those things when it's more of a rapid pace. Here, it's hard to be intense and really, really busy. It really forces you to just mellow out.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody's moving fast. So even if you are, the world around you is moving very slow. So it either rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah, you can try, but...
Yeah. You either get frustrated and you're like, I'm leaving, or you're like, this is way better. You know, it's just like really calms you right down.
Yeah.
There's nothing rapid about Nicaragua. It's a very chill place.
No.
When you think about Vietnam, because like I was thinking back about our travels too, is like when people ask questions, what's your favorite place? And we always say like every place has its own magic. It's all kind of has its own like essence, right? And also we've noticed, like you said, like each city and each village and country, as you get kind of, you know, from the country to the cities to the towns, you notice that they have a cadence and they have like a heartbeat that either like propels you to being faster or like was like, whoa, slow down. And when you think back about Vietnam, because it's like one of the places that you really loved, is it because of the cadence? Is it because of the people? Is it because of the food? Like, was it because of the interactions we had with the kids there? Or what do you think it was?
I do not know, because it was not a slow country. I mean, not a slow city, because we didn't go to the whole country. But it was the busiest city we have ever visited. It was insane.
Yeah.
But I think it was just the idea of Do you remember how many gyms there were there, Mom? Like, if someone's talking about, I guess, like in the traditional sense, quality of life, like, you know what I mean? Those sorts of things. Like, you have access to things like that. But I mean, again, I wouldn't want to live there, so I don't really know. It's hard to know. You also have to live in a place where you have time to like live the life that you want. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Well,
Yeah, I don't know.
because when I think back to Vietnam, I don't actually remember. I mean, if I think about it long enough, I can remember like watching the maze of cars. We were at the top of, we were on the 34th floor of an apartment building, and like the cars, it was just like it was like watching a deck of cards fall. It made no sense how they were driving. There was like thousands and thousands of motos going in various directions, and somehow they were not colliding. But it didn't, the traffic does not make any sense there. It's just like a deck of cards just kind of falls and they just kind of land. And but the city itself was so busy, like all of that, like even trying to cross the street. It took us one time like half an hour trying to figure out how to cross the street. It wasn't until a local like stopped the traffic and like let us walk beside his moto to get across the street. It's just a very busy place. But I don't remember that. I remember like the food and getting our hair like washed and our heads like massaged and our hair styled for like $3. And I
That's what I
remember,
mean.
yeah, like going for dinner with like 10 people and it being $65 for full course, like desserts, drinks, everything, 65 American dollars for 10 of us to eat, like kings and queens. And then I remember the children. So we volunteered at an orphanage with kids with disabilities. And that was like, those are the three things that I remember about the place. It wasn't like somehow the busyness didn't like rattle me. It didn't make me feel like I had to be fast. And maybe that's the essence of the people. Like, I don't remember anyone really rushing. It was just like everybody was fairly calm in how they were approaching life. You know, like sitting in the streets eating dinner at 1 a.m. Like, that's because it's the coolest time of the day. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. It was just
Where
interesting.
I can say, like, Nicaragua, if you want a slow life and you have outside money coming in, the quality of life can be absolutely amazing. But if you don't have outside money coming in, that's a tricky situation because the average wage here is so low. So it's like, it also, that's what I mean. It depends on, like, I don't know, so much on finances. You know what I mean? I'm sure, like, Vietnam is much the same. I don't know anything, I don't know as much about, like, their. Yeah, the financial stuff there, but I feel like as an outsider coming in, it's extremely cheap, but there's a reason it's that way. You know, not everyone's going out to the dinner we went out to. Do you know what I mean? So, like, as an outsider coming in, you could have a great quality of life there, but for the price. But yeah, it's the same as here, you know? Like, a smoothie bowl at the restaurant is pretty cheap for me, but for a local, that's like their salary for the day. So they're not going to be getting this movie off. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, just depends on,
How you're coming and how you're living in that space and what your income is like.
But yeah, going back to what you said about the things that changed, like when it all changed or whatever, is I think through traveling, my perspective and my worldview obviously like changed a lot, and I think that. That was one of like the biggest gifts I could ever have had was meeting other people, but like experiencing things that I otherwise would not have experienced and having a lot more awareness to just like my privilege in the world, which I think is good. I was listening to this thing the other day, and when someone has like lost something, I can't remember what it was, but like grief demands a witness. So if like someone has lost something, like a child, you can say, I'm really sorry for your loss, obviously, but like if you have one, saying like I'm grateful for my child, actually, like I can't remember who it was, I think it was Brené Brown who was talking about this. But when you recognize what you have, it helps the other person know that you know what they lost has like a giant effect on them. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like me recognizing my privilege was like the biggest thing I could do because it's like not being aware. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I recognize what I have is a lot compared to other people, but at least when I have the gratefulness for it and I'm aware of it, that's better than just walking around the world just being like, oh, no, I don't. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the awareness of it, then it's like, no, I notice what I have. And I don't know if that makes sense in a way, but
It's just like
Like,
understanding. I think sometimes we can be raised. I think when we, when you are just living in the same place, it sometimes it can be hard to see the things that you do have and maybe have the gratitude for those things. Just even like our lifestyle
yeah.
prior to traveling. Like, okay, so this is an example for me. So, like that'll help maybe. When I was you were little and I went to San Francisco and I like was like doing some humanitarian work there. And ended up just we were supposed to just serve meals and that was kind of our thing in bringing out like essentials to the people that were living in the area that were unhomed. And then I had brought in all this stuff to do pedicures for the and massages and stuff for the team, the kids that were there. And I was like, why don't we just do this for the people here? And we washed people's feet and heard their stories and then that led into like me starting a non-for-profit in Calgary to help people. And all of the moms were all moms were swimming in like we're swimming in children really and like and it feels overwhelming and it's not that it's not a lot, it's just that when I walked into a room and I saw a mom living there with three kids, in like a room that was like the size of maybe my bathroom and that was her home for 2 months while she tried to find a re like relocate to a new space because she was in an abusive place and she needed just a shelter, my perspective of like how I felt about my world. I had just a different appreciation and a gratitude that like I had a safe home, right? And the things that maybe felt overwhelming, it's not that they weren't overwhelming. It's not like, but it's just that the sense of like understanding of what I have and a gratitude for what I have. I think
Yeah.
that's what traveling did for us. Like not having, you know, we'd had some Airbnbs where we had like there was one towel for the six of us. We're like, what is this? You know, or like the pot has no handle, or you know,
Yeah.
you don't have any AC, and there's just like different things that, you know, essential things that you become really accustomed to and living very easily with, and you realize those are just very small materialistic things, and then there's bigger things that are beyond that. But just those small things make you realize, oh, like it can be uncomfortable out here, you know, not knowing the language and all these
Yeah.
things, and just
But I think one of the things is like you don't know, like if we hadn't, like growing up, I didn't know, like, oh, I'm lucky to have a pot. Do you know what I'm saying?
yeah.
Like that sort of a thing, like matching towels and all those things, when like there's a vast, vast majority of people, I feel like don't, those are like extreme privileges, and we don't see it until you experience something else, you know, and then you're like, oh, I should actually be grateful for the things that I do have,
Yeah.
you know, which I feel like living here has really like shown me a lot. And even living with Javier too, like even what I said about the charger for this for the speaker, like yeah, growing up he had to like fix things versus like me, like I just would have been like, oh, Dad, can you buy a new one? You know what I mean? That's like a that's a huge privilege, and I didn't have the awareness of that before, where it's even just a privilege like to be able to just like borrow money from the bank. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like we don't necessarily have that much more money, but we have access to more money, and
Right.
so that allows for a lot of different opportunities. Versus here, that's not, you have access to money for sure, but the interest is insane. So it just, I don't know, I feel like yeah, that's the biggest thing that really had shifted in my life is my awareness.
Yeah,
And there's still lots
totally.
more to learn, obviously. But yeah, I feel like
Yeah, there always is, but
that.
it's just a big leap from what we had and like living in the same house for 10 years to being like we live
Yeah.
everywhere you know and just like having perspective that you can't really bind in a book and understand it, you can read about it but when you live
No.
it changes you and now you're here in Nicaragua and like who would have ever thought. I remember before we went to Nicaragua with Lexus and are like I don't think Nicaragua's safe, like I don't think we should go there and we were really only going there because we were in Mexico and we were going over to Costa Rica for one of the other kids were going to school there and so we were like looking for an in-between spot and like I guess we could go there for like a couple months and then we got there and we're like how does it just keep getting like better? At first it was a bit of a rude like a bit of a wait like a bit of a mind-blowing experiences were walking. I remember us driving back from the airport at like 3 a.m. and seeing somebody walking on the side of the street with a machete, and I was like, "Where are we? Like, are we
I know,
safe?"
and during that drive, I was like, you guys had all fallen asleep at one point. And the driver, now I realize what he was doing. But before, like, it's 3 a.m. and Dad wasn't in the vehicle with us. And I remember looking around, and at some points you guys were all awake, but at some points everyone was asleep. And I was like, it is my job to make sure this driver does not fall asleep, because he kept veering off the road. So every time he would veer off, I'd be like, so, like, you have children? Do you have kids? Like, trying to, like, keep him occupied. And he'd be like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And then I'd go back and be like, okay, I think he's awake now. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he'd veer again. I'd be like, so, like, how old are you, kids? Do you have a wife? Like, and I realized now what he was doing. And it's because there's just, like, potholes, or, like, there's just, like, a tree in the middle of the road. And he was just veering around it. But I was like, oh, my God, this guy's falling asleep. Like, we're going to die on the side of the road. Because he's just, like, kept just slowly veering. I'm like, there's a cliff here. Like, we are going to die. And, no, it's just because there's, like, random things. Like, yeah, guys with machetes walking at, like, 4 a.m. to work. And I was like, holy Lord, it looks like we're in a war zone. Like, the horses are out there, like, the skinniest horses I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, where are we? But, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a culture shock. We had traveled a bit, but it is a bit shocking, I would say. Like, it was a lot to take in out
there. It was a huge, like, where are we? And are we going to be alive tomorrow?
I think the darkness had a huge effect on that. Like, it was just in the middle of the night. Yeah. And we, like, Dad wasn't with us, and we'd never been separated traveling. And it was just like, holy, like, what is
compounded by, like, we got to our place and there was, like, bugs. Like, we had come from Mexico, but we were in the city. And so it wasn't like we really had a lot of bugs. And it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. We need to look for a flight out of here. I think that's the only place we went to. But the next day we're like, we got to find flights to leave. Like, we got to get out of here. Like, it was.
Yeah, we were trying to leave.
It was so.
But I think it's interesting. We were so, it was the only country we had such, like, an adverse reaction to. Like, we need to go now. Like, this is just not, it doesn't sit well. And it was actually uncomfortable, I think, for a little while.
It was.
Like, maybe, like, 2 weeks or so. Yeah. And then after that, we're like, we started to meet people and started to get used to it. But yeah. I never would have imagined staying, because I remember I was literally counting down the days because I was, like, so afraid of all the bugs. And I was like, Kate, like, how many more nights do I have to check my blankets and, like, see if there's scorpions in my bed and, like, that sort of a thing. But it's crazy how accustomed I've come to it. And actually, like, when you have your house, like, it doesn't have any bugs, like, at all. Thank God. So we don't have, I'm not counting the days down because I'm just living here now. So
yeah,
but it is funny to see both.
At first, it's like, this is a lot. Like, it's just like, just, it's just overwhelming because you're just not used to that many bugs, and it never goes away because it's year round. But again, also
constant.
It's constant. Yeah. And you don't get those, like, winter breaks where everything just dies and, you know, hides. But yeah, it is a big, like, a big change. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your journey of, deciding to stay in Nicaragua and, like, what that looks like. So you started a bakery and, like, a bit of your journey there, just to give, like, people a bit of reference to, so, okay, you've traveled the world, but now you're, like, living your station in Nicaragua, and why?
Yeah. Before we came here, I had talked about sort of finding, like, a home base and traveling from there, because I do love traveling. But it is a lot, constantly moving. It's a lot to pack up your life every couple days or 10 days or a week or whatever. And so we had been here for about a year and a half, and the plan was to stay longer. And I think what had happened was I had been so reserved with certain things. Like, I had met, like, a partner, and I was really reserved with that, because obviously with traveling, like, you meet people, but I don't know. He was, like, the first person I ever was interested in. And so I was so reserved in the beginning, like, so reserved. And even with the bakery, I was like, I, like, thought about it for a long time, not a long time, but, like, months. And the construction of it took 5 months. And so I was like, I had just, like, just started all of this stuff, sort of. But only, I just started dating Javier in February, and I opened the bakery in February, like, a couple days apart. And when I had, like, also just bought, like, a motorbike, and I was like, hey, like, I'm setting down roots, and I'm like, we're planning to, I remember I had talked to you one day where I was like, I don't know how I feel about getting invested with, like, I was kind of invested in the bakery already, obviously, that was, like, the process, But just with even Javier, I was like, I don't know how I feel about just like getting like invested. Like that just seems like a huge jump. And you were like, when are you gonna have this opportunity? Like, just go for it and see what happens. And I was like, okay. And then at that point, I was like, I'm gonna put in more effort because I was being a bit of an asshole before. And I was like, not being rude, but just being like, I don't know, just difficult to read in a way where I was just like, I don't want to give, like, you know. So I was like giving mixed signals because I wasn't sure. And but we'd already been dating for a little bit then. And so I was like still like, you know, and at the bakery, and you know, I had started to like set down roots, and I had just so I remember I was talking to you while I was getting my nails done. Do you remember that? And I was like talking to you. I was like, Mom, like I'm going to his house later. I was like, and you're like, just be yourself. Like, stop hiding. Just like be yourself. I was like, okay. And like, I think it was like a week later, you guys were like, we're leaving. And I was like, I just opened up. Like, what do you mean? I just did this, you know? And I think part of me was like, I gave like myself a chance in like a business sense to like try something new. I had like found more freedom because I never had my own mode of transportation in any of the countries we visited. I started doing like Ubers in Mexico, but I never had my own transportation. And so I had more freedom in that sense where if I wanted to go somewhere, I had my own motorbike, I could just like do it. Versus before, it was like you and me always going somewhere together, which was amazing. But by that point, I
Yeah,
was
you need some
20 and I was like,
independence.
I had that in Canada. I had my own car during COVID or whatever. But once like we started traveling again, it was like a little less independence, and we were living kind of far from town, so anytime I wanted to get there. So there was just some things like that where I was like, I had just kind of started actually like setting roots down and starting a life here. And then same with like Javier as well, as I had finally just decided like, okay, I'm actually gonna open up, and it's okay if you get hurt one day, but like you're not, I don't know, we had talked about it quite a lot, a lot. And you're like,
We did talk a
just
lot.
embrace it. Just see what happens. Yeah. Because I was really reserved. I was like scared. I was like, this is not. And I remember him even saying, he's like, you almost come into things as if you've had like the biggest heartbreak of your life. Like you've been like you have had the worst breakup ever. And you're so scared coming into a new relationship. But he's like, it's the exact opposite. You've never had one. And I was like, yeah, I know. And it's because I'm such a planner and such a thinker. I kind of plan out everything, but I like to think of sometimes the worst case scenarios. It's like, what could go wrong to prepare myself? And you're like, stop thinking about that. Just like think about what you could gain from it. And so I had just like decided to just like go for it. And I think at that point in the beginning, he was kind of like, I think a day before, he was like, do you just want to be friends? Like, I don't want you to feel pressure from me. I'm like, no, I don't want to be friends. And he's like, well, like that's kind of what I'm getting. And I'm like, oh, sorry, like I don't know, like I just feel so difficult like opening myself up. It was so new, like everything, like the bakery, and it just kind of all, oh,
Monkeys have arrived.
he was right there. But yeah, it all had kind of like happened at once, and so it just felt like, I don't know, a lot. But yeah, so we were here, all that had kind of happened. I had just decided to, I was like, no, I don't, I'm like, I'm gonna make more of an effort. And I would like say that, and then I'd see him again, and then I'd be kind of closed, and then I wouldn't. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it was not necessarily. I just was like protecting myself because I was afraid, and so I had talked to you that day, and then after that, I like wrote him a letter, and I like wrote down like, I'm sorry, like I'm gonna like really invest, I'm gonna give you all of me, like I'm gonna try, and after that point, he was like, I don't think. I think he's like, I've never received like a letter before. And so he like really was like, wow. I was like, oh, good. Because I am definitely not a person for words. I'm more of like a, let me write it out first. He knows I ramble. Like I ramble on and on when I'm nervous. And so it was better though, I think the letter, because I was like, okay, now I made one for myself and one for him so that then I could reread it and remember what I promised. And I was like, okay, let me reread this so I can actually continue to move forward. So yeah, and then I think it was shortly after that when you guys came to me and Mikkel, and you were like, okay, we're gonna be leaving. And I was like, what? I had just like kind of promised Javier, because we had talked prior. I had just kind of promised him, because we entered things like in our relationship kind of like I don't know, without expectation, because he's like, I don't know how long you're going to be here. And, you know, he had also been through some stuff as well. And so I was like, yeah, I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. And so it was like good for, I think, both of us to enter it in the way that we did, like more relaxed and kind of hands-free.
Yeah.
Because we both weren't looking for a relationship. And so it just kind of like happened to us in a sense, where we were just friends. And then we just like started hanging out a lot. And then he eventually asked me one day, he was like, do you want to make it like official? And I was like, oh God, I don't know. And I was like nervous. I was like, I remember I told you, you were sitting in the car one day and I was like, I can't even say the word boyfriend. It gives me such an ick. And I was like, you're like, why? I'm like, I don't know. It just feels wrong. And, it was just like, I don't know, I'm such a difficult person, but it was just so like new. And I, yeah. So afterwards you guys had said like, oh, like we're going to be leaving. I was so, I don't think I showed you guys how I was like, holy Lord, like what? Because I'm not like a really show in the moment, but I was like, I have just made like commitments for the first time in my life, basically, where I was like, I told him I was committed.
Right.
And he was so supportive in me staying or going. He never wanted to push me. And he's like, I will help you pack up your house. If we are like, if you are like leaving, like I will help you. I will support you. And I will like, we'll be in a relationship right until you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll let you go. And so I was like, oh, so he was able to like hold on, but also like he was more relaxed. Like he didn't want me to go, obviously, but he was like, I never want her to have to stay and then resent, obviously, because it's like, so it was definitely my decision. And I remember even like I went over to his house, was like, okay, my parents are gonna leave. They said they're gonna promise to stay until January, I think it was, or December, something like that. And yeah, and so he's like, okay, like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, but so we have till like December, you know? And he's like, okay. And I'm like, I at least can like keep the bakery open for another like couple months just to like see. Like, it's just a fun adventure, I guess. And so I was like, let me see. And then I think it was like, not, I think it was 2 days later. Like, it was close. And you guys were like, we're actually, we found flights. We're leaving in like a month. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? And then before that, we'd always made decisions as like a family. And so that was the first one where like, I didn't have as much like say in a sense. And I was like, holy Lord. And it was actually quite intense how you guys had said it, because you were like, we're leaving in a month and we're booking flights today. You can decide if you want to come. And I was like, what? So I have 1 day to decide this? Like, if this is insane. You're like, the flights are a good deal and we've decided. And like, you have to decide for Kayla and Ellie. And I was like, holy Lord. Like, I have 1 day to decide if I'm jumping on ship or not, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Mikel also was trying to decide. And so he was constantly asking me. And I was telling him that I was leaving. Because I was like, that's what I kept telling him. Because I was like, no, I'm leaving Mikel. Because I didn't want him to make his decision based off me. And I knew if he thought I was staying, he would just decide it. He's like, oh, Lexi will kind of like,
we'll just stay together.
Take care of me in a way,
yeah.
Right? He's like, we'll rent a house together and we'll just, you know, she'll kind of take care of, you know, not in that sense, but.
And also like the thing is too, like you guys had lived, we had traveled so many years and you two like were like, had become like each other's besties. And like, there's like that you and him and then the two little girls, you know, not so little anymore, but the two girls have were like, they're each other's best friends. And so I think for him, it was just like, and you're also the older, bigger sister and you kind of like, you know, you've always taken control, like it matters. You're just like, this is what's happening. Whether it's like cleaning the house or whether it's like making a meal, like they all kind of just like look to you and go like, oh, okay, like you said, we're cleaning the house, you know? And so I think when you were like, if you were like going to stay, it was like, well, my bestie's staying. And he had made some friends there and like, had felt like he had made some, you know, like a bit of like, it felt probably safe in some ways too. One, because it was you, he could stay in his mind to stay with. And two, because it was like, I have friends and I have a community here. And so it felt like so, and the other girls, like to put everything into context without going into major details, we had gone through something really traumatic with our youngest daughter. And it was like, in order to save her, like just her well-being mentally and physically, it was like, we felt like we just needed to do something. We needed to leave the area to help.
Now.
Yeah. It was like matters were getting really, really difficult. and becoming out of our hands, that it was like we need to like have a reset and leaving this space. It just felt like it was the best thing that we needed to do in that moment, which was extremely dramatic for you, because it was like we're staying, we love it. Okay, we're gonna leave in 6 months. Okay, we're gonna leave in a month. It was just like, what? And I can imagine from your perspective being like, how? Like I just got this all going. What do you mean? Like how? But it was like, in my eyes, from a mom, it felt like I was losing two of my kids at the same time. It's a really like, and we've talked about this many, many times, but just like one to like something I don't know what the unknown is, and one to like, be with someone you really love and care for, and to continue growing your business. It just felt like, oh, like it felt like such a loss from the top to the bottom, and any decision you made felt like it was the wrong one, because
Yeah, it did. Where it was hard because I was like, I'm an extreme planner. And so once I originally decided, I remember I called Michaela actually, because I was like, she's the only person I think that will understand like moving away from family as the oldest sister. Do you know what I mean? And so I talked to her and she's like, it's good. You have to choose yourself. And I was like, holy work. Especially because Ellie was going through what she was going through. I was like, how can I leave her? But I was like, it's not, it felt terrible to say, but I was like, there's actually nothing I can do. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's not really anything I can do. Like, I can be there for her, but she's on, like, it's you guys who need to be there for her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can be a support, but like, I can't be like dad needed to step in and be your support for that. You know what I mean? And I feel like it would have very easily just been like, I'm your support for that. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it was like, I was like, I have to take a step back and make room,
And do what you
in
wanted
a
to do for
way.
you. And I think like we've been such a close-knit family, especially traveling. Well, that nothing will make you close like that and make you work through really difficult things. Like when you're together all the time, you can't just ignore that you're mad about something, because you see each other all the time. So you can't just go to work and like leave. You're like, no, you're rubbing shoulders constantly. And so you have to work through stuff quickly. And this was like, I think it felt like a bit like the band was breaking up, not because the band was breaking up, but just because we were all feeling so many different things. And like you said, it was the first time you put yourself out there, and you're like, I have like a great, like I've actually created some roots here, and I've actually opened up my heart a little bit for the first time. And like now I'm supposed to just like shut that up and like close that. Like I knew that you were going to stay there. Like even if we were to live there forever, I just knew that like at a certain point, there's a knowing in my mom heart, and this happens not all the time, but just sometimes it does. And you're just like, oh, like she's staying here and she's gonna find her person here. And so when it all happened, I was like, part of me was like in disbelief that that actually was becoming the thing. 'Cause I mean, you were always kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm probably gonna be the last one to get married. I'm probably gonna be the last one to find a person. Like, you
Oh,
weren't in
I was
any
like
panic.
not, no. I was like, oh, and even going into things, I was like, oh, I'm gonna chill. Like, I'm like, this is, like, but that's also because like in previous experiences, that was the thing that was different about Javier is I've always been like so like relaxed and like if someone doesn't ask you on a date, it's not an actual date, which I don't think that's how the world works anymore. But I was like traditional. I was like, no, if they don't actually say, can I take you on a date? It's not a date. And so we're just friends. And so, but he was so like different. He didn't put any pressure on me at all that I actually had to like meet him where in the middle. So I had to put in some effort. And that was the difference, was like, he wasn't just gonna just like pursue me. And it's not like I needed someone to pursue me. But if someone does pursue me, I run in the other direction because I'm like, that's too much. So he was the first person I was like, oh, I actually do like him, you know? And he was the first person I had feelings for where I was like, okay, like I might have to act on this a little bit if I don't want to just like lose it. And that was the thing is he would have happily had just, I think, been my friend. Do you know what I mean? Like he was not, there was no pressure. And so I think that was the thing where I was like, oh, like I actually have to take some control here and also decide what my actions are going to be, not based off his actions, but on what I want. And that was the first time I had actually ever had to like ask that because he was so just like, he wasn't pushy in any way. And I was like, okay, like I have to make some like effort. you know? And so I think with that, I had opened up my heart a little bit, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about just like closing it up and going, you know? And so I had created a plan. I was like, okay, like I'm gonna go with you guys back to Canada. I can't remember why I was doing that, but I was like, I don't know, I was like getting some stuff or
Yeah, they came
something.
back to kind of
And I,
get some things because, and to see family because it had been a while.
So I came back with you guys, and then I was like, okay, like I rented the house, and I was like, my plan is to like keep things, try it for 3 months, just see how it goes for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like just see. And because Javier was thinking that too. He's like, let's just see how it goes. You know what I mean? Like it was very different because I had a lot of other things, like family was here, I was with you guys, and then it's just me and him. You know what I mean? And so it was like just like we had all these other distractions, and now it's just me and him. And so it was like, okay, like what, let's just see how it goes. Like that's the funny thing, is we think about things both like very similarly, like very like analytical. We'll be like, okay, like let's just try it out. And he's like, yeah, let's try it out. Let's see like if it goes well. I'm like, it could go horrible. Like we could hate each other. And
I
he's like,
remember you
that's
saying that. You're
true.
like,
I'm
this
like,
could
I
go
know.
horrible.
So let's, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it could. I'm like, yeah, what if we just like, I'm like, I'm not a fighter, but what if we just like hang out and we just don't like each other anymore? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, let's just see. And he's like, yeah, we'll just see how it goes. And it turns out it went the opposite direction. And so I was like, damn it, I feel like I'm here now
Here.
a little bit. Yeah, I really like you. I liked you a little more than I did before, actually. And so, yeah, so it went in the other way. And I learned a lot with my business. I really did. And it's been good for me, I think, to have to see something through. Because this is the longest job I've actually ever had, to be honest. Because I worked before, but we were kind of moving all over. Even during COVID, I only worked, I think, for a year and a half, maybe. Versus here, I'm like, oh wow, this is actually crazy. This is the longest job I've had. And I'm my own boss. Like, I love the bakery. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not how I pictured my life at all. But, you know, I am very, very grateful. Very grateful that all our travels did lead me here, because I do love it here. You know, I don't like, I would like to still keep traveling and go and see things and not just be here 24/7. But that's the plan, you know? And that's the thing, is me and Javier have like made a lot of plans for the future. But I don't know. I said something the other day where I was like, I know a lot of people who have like partners, and I'm like, I don't take for granted that I have a good partner. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't, like you don't, sometimes you don't know what you've had until you've lost it. Like I knew that kind of going in. I was like, no, he's like a good person, and he like actually cared about me. And it was hard for me in some cases to like rely on someone else, because I don't have my family here. And like the Spanish, obviously, like I know more Spanish than before, obviously, like I should. But I think that I had to rely on him quite a lot, which was not something I wanted to do. I talked to, I think, Leela about this one time, and I was like, feels so strange. Like I remember I was like trying to carry something back from the bakery one day. Like it was like flour. I was like carrying flour, and I was carrying like 225-pound bags. And his dad saw me like walking in town. And he was like, Javier, your girl is walking with flour. So he like came by. I think he like, I don't think he did, because I think he was like, no, like she wants to do it on her own. So he tried to give me space. But he's like, you need to like ask for help. I was like, no, like I got it. Like it's fine. He's like, that's 50 pounds. I was like, it's fine. Like I got it. And so I had to like, I was used to like relying on you guys, but I was like, I don't want to like transfer. Do you know what I'm saying? Versus I feel like for him, it's so different. He's had so many people rely on him that I was like, I also don't want to be one more person for you, because he has a lot of responsibilities. And so I was like, I can do this on my own. And I don't know. So not in like a don't help me, but in like a I got it. You know what I mean? And so it's been a big learning experience to realize like it's okay to also rely on like a partner in some ways to like help you with things, where even if I come in at the bakery at night to like fold dough or whatever, I'm entering alone, and he's like, let me come with you. I'm like, no, that's okay. And then I get here and I'm scared. I'm like, I should have just said yes. But he won't like overstep, you know what I mean? So I'm like, hey, actually, next time I need you to come with me, because I was a little scared. I was like, I think someone was knocking on the door, and I was like, I don't want to open it. And so So I don't know. It's good to rely on people, but I don't know. It's been a huge learning experience for me. I was not expecting any of this, and definitely not expecting to like involve a partner. Because I did, again, I never expected to really be. I kind of was like, I'm just gonna be me. I'm gonna probably be single kind of like forever in a way. Like, I don't have interest in people. Like, any people I have met, I was like, there's just no one was like as responsible or, insecure. And that sounds really terrible of me to say, but it was like, I want to meet someone who's like okay with themselves and is like happy with themselves. And obviously, as like life changes, things change as well. But I was like, I'm not interested in like bad boys, you know what I mean? Or like people who are like don't treat you properly. I'm like, no, like I need someone who like treats me well. And yeah, it sounds rude to say that, like, but I just mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but I was like, I
No, I
definitely,
think
it's not like I
yeah.
have like a huge list of things, but I need someone who's like responsible and that I don't need to babysit, because I was like, that's my biggest thing, is I was like, I want to be able to like, if even if the person's in a bad mood, like they can come to an event with me and like figure it out. Do you know what I mean? And like be like a responsible adult and not be like sulking in the corner. You know what I mean? Where like just things like that, where you can just like manage your emotions well. And I don't know. Where I feel like we're very, very similar in a lot of ways, and also very different, but we're very good communicators, which is great. And I think also the language, like the English, also like forces us. Because I'm a nitpicky person. I remember even Kelea, it wasn't it Kelea that said, if Lexi can find someone, then anyone can, or something like that. I can't remember what she had said to you. I can't remember. I think it was like, if Lexi can
Like
find
it.
someone, then I will should have no problem. And because I'm a difficult person. I really am. But somehow he like doesn't annoy me. He's like, I think it's a miracle. I'm like, it is a miracle, because I do get annoyed very easily with people. So,
You had to have it's like
yeah, you, I won't.
sorry as a parent you think
Go
about
ahead.
like
No, go ahead.
your kids and what you hope that they'll find. And I'm just like, Javier, I don't even think I could have imagined that it could have been somebody that you could have been that well connected with and that you understand each other that well. Because you say it about yourself too, like you're like, I'm a complicated person. Like it's not that you didn't see people or know people along the way and meet guys and things like that, but they're just a lot of them were closer. They just were just maybe less mature and had like were needing you to be like their life, and you're like, I don't want to be somebody's life. I want them to have a life, and I can just bring my life, and we can both like be content and happy with who we are. We're not trying to fill out some sort of random void. It's like, no, we feel like pretty complete humans, and we just want to like, I want to compliment. I want someone to compliment me, and I want to compliment somebody. I don't want to be somebody's everything. And I think that's like, that's mature. And I don't think I understood that when I was, getting into a relationship at such a young age. And so I think that's like really a good knowing that like the person, no one can make you happy. If you're not happy here, like it doesn't, being in a relationship's not going to change that, right? It may be temporarily, but the joy and the happiness comes from within, not from, from the circumstances, the relationship. So I think that was like something you weren't looking for, somebody who would just needed you to be their everything. You wanted them to be their own thing. Which,
For sure. And I think that was a thing, is I was like, I don't want to be someone's everything, and I don't also want to feel responsible for like, I think I was scared also of like breaking someone's heart in a way. And so I was like, if I like, I don't want to be their whole world, because if I leave, I don't want their whole world to crumble. And I feel like in some senses, like throughout the things that we have gone through, like, just a couple things. It's like me going to leave, like he was okay with that in a way. Like he was like obviously sad, but he never would have asked me to stay. Like never. Because he's like, as soon as I do that, like you, then there's pressure. That's what I mean by he never put pressure on me. He's like, no, you have to make this decision for yourself. He's like, not for your family, not for me, but for yourself. He's like, you have to think about it. And he really thought I wasn't gonna stay, to be honest. He was shocked when I said that. And he like kind of still was like, she's not coming back from Canada. Like he was very surprised when I came back. Like he was like, he really didn't think I was going to. But he was like, that's okay. I would have like sold everything at the bakery for you and gotten you the money. And
So
like he would
sweet.
have, he's like, I would have taken care of stuff here for you. I know, right? He's like, I would have taken care of it. But He's like, I was shocked when you came back. But that's what I mean. He's like, it was kind of like my fear of leaving and breaking someone's heart and his life stopping, like, didn't happen. Not that I'm saying I'm all that, but like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I was afraid of that happening, and he would have been fine.
Yeah.
You know, he would have been sad, but he would have been fine.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted, was like, it sounds strange to, I feel like some people might want their partner to be like sad for like months and, you know, not move on. And, but I was like, no, like, I would want you to like move on. And I don't, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Cause I don't want that responsibility of like someone, I don't know. So I feel like in all these sensitive things have happened, and he's always like what's that word? But like I don't remember. I don't remember. But like when something's happened, it's always gone. I don't remember, like, not reinformed, but like you know what I'm saying?
I'm not, the word's not coming to me, hun.
Okay. But I just mean it could have gone one way and it didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's been like, I don't remember the word, but
yeah,
it's always been, it feels like there's more trust and more safety and all those things slowly over time, where that's always has to be learned and earned.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's gone well.
Yeah. And I think like, there's a lot of growth, and I think us not being there, as hard as that was, and not like as hard as that was to not be a part of that, to stay there, like, I think that like there are so many good things about our life there, but I just think that at the time it was the only thing we knew to do, and it was, at the end of it, looking at it, like, it's pushed all of us in different ways. I remember us sitting in a car before we moved, we went and got like some dessert at this place called Peace and Cake, and we just sat in the car and we just like cried, and we just were like, I can't imagine not waking up with you every morning and like in my life. And we had just done life so closely, it was hard to imagine any other way. But I can see, like, I, even for me, like, I moved away when I first got married. We moved to Austria, and it was a really hard transition because I could feel and understand like the sense of loss that my mom felt. And even though like I was really excited for my life, I was also like really scared for my life, being like, I'm gonna miss her so much. And this like really in between, also like the love of my life and like my mom, and then just kind of sitting in between and not wanting to feel like I would ever put you in that place, because I know what it's like to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, a process.
No, you were trying so hard. I could see it on you. You were trying like so hard to be supportive, and I knew it was taking literally everything in you to not just sit and cry all day. Like, I knew it was just like, you were like, no, it's gonna be good. And even as you were saying it, I like knew it took everything in you to say that, and I was like, thanks, mom.
And I could tell,
like,
that
you were trying, you were
it was so weird, because I would wake up in the morning being like, I know this is the right thing for her, this is the right thing for her, this is good, like, show that. And in my heart, I'm like, I could feel that. And I actually would, like, I mentioned this on a different podcast, where I actually would go for a walk. We had, like, it was so hot in Nicaragua that time of year, and we didn't have anywhere. Well, if you walked outside, like, up, it was a lot of very hilly where we lived. And so I didn't like actually go for walks in our neighborhood, because it was just too sweaty, hot to walk up these huge hills. So I'd walk our patio, which was like enough to seat probably 100 people. And so I would just walk up there and talk to myself, be like, Janelle, like, this is the right thing for her. You need to show it with your heart. Like, trying to dial into like my older 80-year-old self. Like, what is your 80-year-old self saying? She's saying like, let go. And I like tried so hard to like find this, like, that my heart and my head, like my heart and my actions, I think, could match. Because my actions would be like, I'd be crying, but like, I'm inside, I'm like, you're happy for her. But I just couldn't get the two to like meet each other.
I know.
You know, and it was so hard, because I, like, I wanted to be the person that you talk to and about your excitements and your fears, but like, I knew that like my actions or the way that I was communicating didn't allow you to feel like I was a pillar for you, but that maybe you feel like you needed to be a pillar for me. And I didn't want that for you, because I've know that feeling, and I wanted to just find a way. And it wasn't until actually you came back to Canada, we had the summer together, and you went, and I just, like, I remember you walking away and just like feeling like I just lost like my left leg. Like, I just, like, feeling so, so sad. And you walked away, and the kids got into the car, and dad just held me, and I just started sobbing. And I was like, that's my best pal. Like, I'm so, like many things we do together. Like if there's something I want to do, I don't have to think about who I'm gonna do it with. I'm like, Lex, let's paint the wall. Lex, let's renovate. And like we were just, you know, let's make a cake. Let's do this. Let's be paleo. Let's go gluten free. Let's let anything that we wanted to try. Let's be minimalist. Like it was like, let's do
Let's go gluten free.
You know, like let's not eat meat.
Just
Okay, like we just
together.
like would. Like we
Decided.
just tried things, you
Yeah,
know?
we're both. I'm sure
Yeah.
dad was like, what? Like one day we wake up, we're like, we watched a documentary last night and we're now vegan. He's like, oh, I'm like, together we're vegan.
Together we're vegan. Like you just like just do those things,
Yes.
you know? And then
Yeah.
feeling like my little bestie was leaving, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like I actually sat with myself and I realized that me, like you were never meant to be like my Polly Pocket. Like I was never supposed to just have you in my pocket my whole life. Oh, somebody's moving some things. This podcast is very loud. For those
Sorry,
of you who
guys.
are listening, I'm sure you're just like, what is happening? We are not renovating. It is just Lexi's world is very loud. She is at the
I'm
bakery, she's
sorry.
hiring somebody and she's training somebody. So she's taken a little pocket out of that time to be with us today. So I apologize for all the noise and all the things that are going on. We are going to wrap this up soon.
I'm sorry.
But just bear with us. But I remember realizing that like my like sadness for you not being in my daily life was like turning my world gray. And everything like my experiences with
Yeah.
dad, my experiences with the kids, my experiences for myself, everything was like slightly tinted gray. And I was like, she's meant to fly. Like I want my kids to stand on my shoulders and do things like that. That my ceiling is their floor, and like you're doing things that I never did. Like I'm so proud of you. But it took me some time to like settle in with that and go, I need to let go. And if my world, I want it to stay gray, then I'll stay in this place. But if I want it to be full of color and joy and happiness and excitement and see like and notice Ellie's smile and be like, dang, that's beautiful. And like feel dad's hug and be like, man, this is great. And like all these things and really be engaged with the kids, then I have to let go. And it was a really act of just like opening my hands, opening my heart and being like, let go and not holding on. And that ever since that moment, and that was a really hard moment. I like cried from the back of my ears and the back of my knees. And I'm pretty sure my toes were drenched in crying too. Like every part of me sobbed, just be like, let go because this isn't serving your relationship with her. It's not serving your relationship with your other kids or with your spouse. It's not serving you as a person. And I have to let go. It was a very big night for me. And at that point, like everything kind of changed. And I was like, okay, like you're free and you're never meant to be in my pocket. And we'll do fun things together and our life will change. But you know what? We need to be gentle with each other because I've never been here, like we've talked about, and you've never been here. So we don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to figure it out. We'll have to have a lot of grace for each other because we're going to screw it up like multiple times, you know, and we're going to wish that our heart could show in our actions and sometimes it won't. And we'll miscommunicate sometimes. But I think like it's allowed for us to have more depth in our conversation and less to do like in the daily. But I think one of the biggest things I realize is that because you were just like in my Polly Pocket doing everything with me is that we didn't have to talk about the hard things sometimes. We just were. We could like rally together. We had a great time together. But I realized that there was a lack of like depth in our conversations because it was easy to just like do things together. We were just so easy to be with. And now we're entering into this world where I can't just, you know, harness it. We can't just run to the grocery store and make a cake together. It's like I have to talk to you about life, about things, about this, so that we have like this, like that we're making space for a new friendship. Which was like, it's like parenting in a way you just don't understand until you're in it. You just, there's no way. It's like, no one can tell you what the season is like until you're in it. You're like, this is new. I didn't see this hand in the handbook. Like, me being you, the first one, you know, you've always done all the first things, most of them. And the first one moving away, it's like, how do I do this well? How do I do this so that it's our relationship's better and it doesn't suffer? And that's
Yeah.
been a huge, like huge learning curve for me. How do I learn? How do I
Well,
learn?
I knew in the beginning too, like when I was here, I was like, I was telling you, I remember I was like, no, mom, like, don't worry. Like, I'm gonna come and I was just trying to tell you things that I thought would help you in the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, just something that would, like, give you some, like, peace. And I was like, no, like, I'm gonna come and visit you. I'll be here half the time, there half the time. You're like, that's gonna be too hard for your relationship. I'm like, no, like, he's gonna be fine. Like, I'll be here 3 months, there 3 months. Like, no problem, you know, easy. Remember you, like, you knew better, but I was just like trying to just like help in the way I could and just say, I was like, no. And it's like, it is like 70% the bakery and 30% Javier. Like, really, truly, like, it's mostly the bakery that's keeping me here. And you're like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's mostly that bakery right there. It's like, that's pretty much it. That small room. Yeah, it's pretty much that. I was like, it really has, it's very, that was a very, very small part of that. So don't even worry. I was like, I'll leave, I'll stay, you know. And I knew when I left that it could either have been you let me go, or it turns into a bit of resentment. And I wasn't sure what it was gonna do. And so I was trying to help in the ways I could to be like, no, like, my biggest fear was that, like, you would eventually, like, resent him. Not that you're a resentful person, but you know what I mean? That it could just turn into, like, he took my girl away from me in a way. And so I, like, didn't want that. So that's why I was like, no, it's like, it's really the bakery. I'm like, resent the bakery. That's fine. Just like, I need enough like him. But I don't know. I think you did let me go. And I can be more honest that, like, he is a much bigger percentage than 30 for sure. But it's harder to admit that than I thought it would be. So, yeah. I
There's a
don't know.
huge, huge learning curve, right? I think, like, for all of us. And it still is, like you say, you're always learning. But I've realized, like, I think in the last 2 years, I'm somebody who can kind of hold things. We both are kind of like that, where you can hold things, and it doesn't really, and you probably learned that in your relationship too, it doesn't really serve the relationships to hold things. And
Yeah.
to rather just be more honest with yourself and be more honest with the people that you're in
Yeah.
relationship with, and understand that, like, we're not going to get it right all the time, so have a lot of grace for each other.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, as hard as that was, that separation and not knowing, like, wanting myself so badly to, like, let go and be free, then to actually finally be in that place where I can say, like, I'm legitimately happy for you when you leave. Like, I'm sad that you're leaving, but I'm not, like, I don't spend times bawling over it like I did when you first left. Where I'm just like, oh,
Yeah. I could see that when I left Scotland. I was like, you didn't even cry. I was like, oh my gosh. I felt way better about, like, returning to something. Like, I didn't feel guilty. And I was like, oh, like, that was, like, really huge, where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm excited about going back, versus the first time I was like, my heart was breaking. And I was like, holy Lord. The second time I was like, okay, like, I was like, this is gonna get so much easier, is what I thought. I was like, this is amazing. It's already, like, gone so much better than I thought. And so it's gotten easier. And I was like, okay. So, no, it was definitely, like, harder than I expected, for sure. In some ways, and easier in other ways too. But I think that, you know, it's always hard when you, I assume, when you move away from your parents. But I feel like it was also, like, especially difficult because we were so close. But it's also beautiful because it wasn't meant to be like that forever.
No, it
You
wasn't.
know? So it needed to change.
Your kids aren't meant to be, like,
So yeah.
in your back pocket your whole life. It's like you're a bit raised them to fly, and you hope that they do things that you never did,
Exactly.
right? And I think that's
Yeah.
hard when your life is your kids and your life is, like, but I think it's just part of the learning process and
Yeah.
letting it be a little bit. Let yourself feel, but also let yourself heal,
Yeah.
and let go, and then, like,
Yeah.
something better can come out of it. And I think you can feel when you enter back into a relationship with your family, and you come back, and it's like, it's not, you're not met with this deep sadness, but you're met with this excitement, and it's like, great, good to see
Yeah.
you, like, had an amazing time, see ya, and then, like, I'll see you again,
Yeah.
but not holding on to every
Yeah.
moment like it's the last moment, and just realizing that, like,
Exactly.
it's
Yeah.
okay. It's okay. It's really special what we have. And I feel
Yeah.
like it's only gotten better, and our friendship has only changed in a better, in a good way, to realize, like,
Yeah.
that, like, you're gonna do your own renovations and paint your own walls and do your own crafts, and that's what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm so proud of you for creating your own space and,
Yeah.
you know, and then when time's together, it's
No.
amazing. But it,
It's very true.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the music is
Okay,
about to come out
I
to the
should let you
garden,
go.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I can see it
I
coming
see
through. I
it
think
coming.
your ears are gonna be blasted soon. Yeah, the music's on. I'm like, he's walking over here with the speaker.
Thanks for making
This
space.
tranquil
Yeah, it's
garden.
about to
Yeah.
change. No, thanks for
Oh,
making space, hun,
yeah.
and for being here and sharing a
Of
bit of your
course. Thanks,
journey.
Mom.
Before we cap off, Lex, what's bringing you joy this week or lately?
Me and Javier hung our curtains yesterday. I did not tell you about that, but we finished all of them last night,
Oh, it's so
thank God.
exciting.
And so we hung them, and let me tell you, it made such a difference in the house. So
Oh.
that has brought me joy because they've just been sitting there folded, and I'm like, we need to finish sewing them. And then we finished all of them yesterday. And so I'll send you a photo, or I'll FaceTime you later, but
That's
they
amazing.
are gorgeous. Yeah, it makes the ceilings look
Oh.
giant. So yeah, what's bringing you joy, Mom?
What's bringing me joy? Oh man, that is a good question. Ooh, well, I think just seeing like singing with my dad lately has been really nice. We've been singing, teaching the girls harmony with Kiki, and she's really catching on, and just like seeing how much joy it brings him to play his harp and to be with the girls, and just like,
Yeah.
yeah, that's bringing me joy. Yeah, doing some of those things that I grew up doing with the girls. Yeah.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I love you so much, hon. Have an amazing day. Thanks
Love
for
you too.
hanging out and all the.
Thank you. All
Okay.
right, I'll talk to you later. All
Okay, ciao. Bye.
right, bye, Mom.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way, you'll never miss out on any future episodes, plus, it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.